Hey, it's Jamie Scrimger. When I became a stepmom, I quickly realized that while moms are encouraged to keep it real, there's a big double standard when it comes to stepmoms. So I decided to start the conversation myself. Thriving as a stepmom doesn't just come from conversations about being a stepmom, though. Here, we dive into marriage, relationships, personal growth, and more. My mission? Inspire you to live a kick-ass life while bringing you along as I create my own. This is the Kick-Ass Stepmom Podcast. Hello, hello. Welcome to the Kick-Ass Stepmom Podcast. Oh my gosh, guys, do I ever have a story for you today. So today's guest is Keisha Blair. She is an award-winning international best-selling author of Holistic Wealth, which is a series of books, including Holistic Wealth, 32 Life Lessons to Help You Find Purpose, Prosperity, and Happiness, among others. She's a Harvard-trained policy expert, the founder of Keisha Blair Institute on Holistic Wealth. She's a graduate of the Executive Leadership Program at Harvard University's Kennedy School of Government. She's got a bunch of credentials. She is legit. But honestly, guys, I don't really care about that. What I care about is her story and her strength and how she took the most tragic situation, which is the sudden death of her husband, and completely transformed her life. This episode had me in tears and left me feeling so inspired. I love how Keisha talks about holistic wealth and what it actually means. She talks about following your gut, not listening to what other people have to say, the process of doing the work, not playing the victim, all the things we can all learn from Keisha Blair. So let's dive in. Keisha, welcome to the Kick-Ass Stepmom Podcast.
Thank you for having me. It's good to be here.
I know. We've been trying to make this happen for so long. Yeah. You know, and I always feel like when timing doesn't work out, I end up having like such great conversations like when it does. So it's almost like it's meant to be, right? Yeah. So finally, we're making it happen.
Absolutely.
You know, there's so many things that I would love to dive into with you, but let's start with the beginning and how your journey into holistic wealth really started. Like, you had a huge life-changing moment with your husband and his passing. Are you open to kind of sharing just how that shaped what was next in your life?
Oh yeah, absolutely. So as you mentioned, Jamie, like huge life-altering, you know, experience when my husband died. And I was so young. I was 31, just gave birth to my second child. And this was 8 weeks prior. So as you can imagine, I'm a new mom. I have a 3-year-old and an 8-week-old. And he just dies suddenly and tragically. He wasn't ill. He went to work that morning, came home. Mm-hmm. And I was at home because, of course, I was on mat leave with my 8-week-old. And we took him to the hospital. He complained of a pain. We rushed him in, called the ambulance. Within 3 hours, he was gone. And at that point, I had no answers, didn't have a clue what was going on. I was just called into the room when the doctors called it and said, well, you know, he's no longer with us. And so I had to find a way to cope as a new mom, as a new widow, as a young woman who was still just setting up her life, just launching with a new family. And that's where that holistic wealth journey started. Unknowingly for me, at that point, I took a year and really figured things through, searched to find those answers that I needed deep within me for why this was happening to us at that point in our young lives. And everything that I've outlined in the book, that journey, all those lessons I learned that I wanted to pass on to so many other moms like myself, so many other young women, you know, morphed into that holistic wealth concept where I realized, and I mean, we all know this intrinsically, but when you go through an experience like that and you realize that life is just so much more. Mm-hmm. Than just what we see in our day to day. It's fleeting. Those moments we need to cherish with our families. And that's what holistic wealth is about. It's just not about just our net worth. As we know, it's about those relationships. It's about our peace, maintaining that harmony and balance in our lives. and about finding meaning and purpose and that mental and emotional well-being that we need. So that's it in a nutshell. And that's kind of how the journey started. It's a lot more than that, as you can imagine. I packed up my belongings, put them in a 40-foot container and headed out on a journey to find, in essence, to find myself. Like, I rented out my home in Canada and I left. I needed to find those answers. And at that time, everybody thought I was crazy for doing this. Everybody said, "What are you doing? Where are you going? Are you kidding me?" And I said, "I need to do this." And that's what has morphed into this journey, you know, into us even being here, having this conversation in this moment. If I hadn't done that, I wouldn't have been here in this way to pass on those lessons. So I'm glad I made those sacrifices, both for myself and to help other women figure this out and to have like a framework with which they could use, you know, whatever the setback is, whether it's widowhood or divorce or, you know, a chronic illness or some other kind of setback, a job loss, anything. I think this framework is so applicable to all of us.
Yeah, for sure. Now, how long after your husband died were you like, "I'm out of here. Like, I'm selling all my stuff. I need to get out of here." Like, what was that process like or the timeline like?
It was maybe a year and a half. Like, I went back to work. And I remember, you know, being on this fast track at work to, you know, becoming an executive. I was one of a few women who was chosen to lead the organization and had this stellar reputation at work. And when I went back, I just felt so out of it. I felt like I didn't know who I was in the moment. I remember one boss saying to me, "Keisha, we want the old Keisha back. Where is she? Find her. We want the old Keisha back." And I was like, "I don't think you're going to get the old Keisha back." And I realized that I needed to find answers to something, you know, if I needed to be that person still, or if I was going to reinvent this person who now had these new beliefs and these new core values that I would, you know, then go forward with my life. And I realized, and I wrote it in that viral article, it was like in the first paragraph of that viral article that I wrote, "My husband died at age 34. Here are 35 lessons I learned from it." And it's in that first paragraph that, you know, I had to basically reinvent. I had to choose a new path, choose new core values. Yes, I still valued, you know, thriving and being ambitious, but not necessarily within a corporate structure, not necessarily climbing the corporate ladder. Here I was, a single mom with two young babies. That wasn't kind of my goal anymore. Mm-hmm. But I know I still wanted to have an impact on the world. I just knew that, you know, life would be different and kind of my purpose would morph. And his death had provided that new impetus to live life in a whole new way with so much more meaning. And so I went back to work. And then, as I said, like, I felt out of sorts. And that's when I decided, you know what, this is it. I discussed it with my boss and he said, "You know what, this is a good time because we're doing so much restructuring now, and take the time off that you need." Mm-hmm. And I did that. And that's when I started on that journey, decided to rent everything in my home, and I sold what I could, packed everything that I had left in a 40-foot container, and decided to go find who the real Keisha was. You know, it's so amazing when someone says to you, "We want the old Keisha back." That was an epiphany for me. Walking out of the hospital with my husband's belongings in a white plastic bag was another epiphany for me with this holistic wealth journey. And those were some key, vivid points that I'll never forget, that I want to pass on to women too, that when you have these pivotal moments in your life, you're at that juncture, at that standing point, and you know you can either choose the old path that you were on, or you can try to forge a different path forward. Mm-hmm. And sometimes that's the opportunity that you need.
Wow, yeah. I can't imagine, you know, Darren and I have been talking, Darren's my husband, we've been talking about just life a lot lately, and we're very open about our goals and what we want to achieve and things like that. And he often will say to me, he's like, "Well, in 10 years, it'll be like this. Or in like 15 years, it'll be like this." He's in the financial industry. So that's just kind of, you know, how he's wired.
Yeah.
And there's been so many people in our lives right now who have had people get sick suddenly or die suddenly. Like last year on Christmas, our uncle died suddenly. And I keep talking to him about that. And I'm like, we don't, like, tomorrow owes us nothing.
Yeah.
You know, why are we all waiting to be the person that we want to be or to do the things that we want to do? Because there's this timeline that we've all been told, like, you know, you get married, you have kids, and you go to work and you climb the ladder and then you retire and you have a great retirement. And none of that is promised. And at the end, like, who the hell are you?
Yeah.
Right? If you don't take those risks and you don't try to figure out who you are, you know, take the vacation, do the thing.
Absolutely. And it's so funny how you mentioned the timelines and taking the risks, because I always knew I was kind of like a risk taker, although I know for sure, you know, I am. But when I took those risks, and it's so funny because I was always the kind of person who was like, yeah, I have this timeline. You know, I'll have my first child by this age. I want to be this position in a corporate structure by this age. And I had my goals like that. And then when my life got upended, I realized, you know, like there's so much more outside of our control, right? And I can't wait to be that person that I've always wanted to be in terms of, you know, those core values. I have to do that right now. And so much of what we do and the goals that we have are shaped by society. So it's just like, yeah, you need to be this. You need to be, you know, in a corporate structure. You need to climb the corporate ladder. You need to earn this kind of salary. You need to do this X, Y. And when we look internally, there's a conflict sometimes, a lot of times, especially with women, there's this conflict. And then we realize that we get to a certain point and those really weren't our goals, or we thought those were our goals, but we realized that, you know what, like if I really was living authentically, I would be doing something else. My passions are elsewhere. And I think, you know, what I went through allowed me to see that really early on because of that experience.
I want to tell you something. There was a time in my life when I would never spend money on pajamas. I don't even think I really had pajamas. I wanted to invest my funds into things that I would wear outside of the house. When I had to buy my first sheet set, I did not understand why someone would invest in anything but the least expensive sheets possible. That was me in my early 20s. Now that I'm in my late 30s, I realize just how wrong that was. Investing in bedding and loungewear and pajamas makes all the sense in the world. My go-to, as you know, is Cozy Earth. From their PJs to their loungewear to their temperature-regulating sheets made from bamboo viscose, Cozy Earth has helped me level up my quality of sleep and how I feel when I'm in lounge mode. The first thing that I do when I get home is either switch into a cozy bamboo jogger set or right into my PJs. Sleeping in my duvet cover and sheet set made from the premium viscose bamboo is like a freaking dream. Temperature-regulating sheets are definitely the move. It is no surprise that Cozy Earth has made Oprah's favorite things several years in a row. Their products are next level, and these are the softest clothes that I own. Right now, I'm actually in the process of going through all of my clothes and purging things that don't make me feel or look great. And most of my loungewear is out. I'm all about the Cozy Earth. The best part of the loungewear is that it just doesn't look sloppy. You can totally go out of the house and look completely put together. I even wore a set recording podcasts last week. Now, Cozy Earth has given listeners of the podcast 40% off any purchase with the code COZYJAMIE40. That's CozyEarth.com and use the code COZYJAMIE40 for 40% off. www.CozyEarth.com and use the code COZYJAMIE40 for 40% off. So you go to Jamaica for a year.
Yeah.
Tell me about Jamaica.
So,
like, you pack up these babies, like they're still very tiny.
I pack up these babies. Yeah. And so the plane lands in Jamaica and I'm petrified. I'm just like, this is a huge mistake. I'm crazy. What am I doing with these two babies here?
Well, everyone feels like that after a plane ride with kids.
Right. Exactly. And then I say, you know what? Like, I've made this decision. I've packed up my whole entire life. Luckily, I have family here. I was born here. So it's not like, you know, I'm in this brand new place that I don't know. But still, for me, I had left Jamaica for years, years upon years. It's not like, you know, I had lived there in recent times. So I'm there and I realize that just being immersed in nature and being able to walk on the beach, seeing, you know, familiar food and healthy, nutritious, farm-to-table food that was so nourishing. First of all, where I stayed in the mountains, huge, very, very immersed in nature and 800 feet above sea level. And I'm looking down on nature every single day. I'm waking up to birds chirping. I'm waking up to the sounds of nature every morning. And I'm getting to just really think about my life. And I realize it's like this line opens up and I'm tuning into my intuition more. And I'm meditating and I'm praying and I'm seeking those answers and they're coming to me. And it's just like this transformative experience, like nothing I can even describe in words. And I'm realizing that that busy life that I led back home in Canada, climbing the corporate ladder, yes, it's part of my experience and it will always be, you know, an integral part of who I am and a part of the lessons that I can pass on as a trained economist. But I'm realizing that this time that I'm taking for peace and quiet and to rediscover me is actually even far more productive than when I was so busy back home. Mm-hmm. And I'm getting these answers and I'm realizing that his death is part of a greater story for humanity and for myself. And I'm realizing that we're all one and that we're all one with nature and so many revelations. And it's all coming to me. And that's when I realized these pieces of holistic wealth were so integral to overcoming setbacks. Because here I was being able to meditate 3 hours a day in the morning and pray, being able to walk on the beach, hear the sounds of nature, my feet immersed in sand, walking on seashells, picking up seashells, and being able to do it, of course, because I had planned financially. So that's also a big piece. Like, I don't want to discount that, you know, and I could do this because I could rent out my home and we had a life insurance policy. We had planned. He was a chartered accountant. He was in the finance industry. I was a trained economist. So what is coming to me as I'm in Jamaica is, this is key for how we overcome and deal with these setbacks. My physical nourishment with eating those foods that were highly nutritious, so important. I was hiking in the Blue Mountain Range in Jamaica, which is one of the most popular ranges in the world, seeing these butterflies, these beautiful birds waking me up. So I'm realizing, you know what, these are all interdependent. And this is what we need to thrive and to survive and to reinvent and to really become whole. And when I came back, it wasn't immediately, but shortly after, I wrote that viral article and incorporated all of what I just said. And I didn't know it would, you know, take wings of its own, but it really did and went viral. And I heard back from so many other women about how much it had struck a chord with them. And that's when an agent said, you need to turn this into a book. You need to flesh out all of these lessons and turn this into a book. And that became Holistic Wealth. And it was my editor who said to me, this is Holistic Wealth. And that's basically the journey. But it was so healing, that journey, that, you know, it had that impact on me, on my mind, my body, my soul. And that's what I've basically condensed into this book to try to pass on to others. Mm-hmm. And of course, you don't need to be going through a setback to gain insights from this framework. I think we can all use it in our everyday lives, because even though I'm not there, I'm recreating in my own life every day, little bits and pieces of it, if I can. You know, I try to be mindful. I try to live consciously. And so we can do that in our everyday lives as mothers, as friends, as parents, as coworkers, as business partners. It's something that we can do in our everyday life.
Mm-hmm. Now, before we dive into holistic wealth, I have to ask, were you mad? Like, how did you, because I don't want to paint this picture that, you know, your husband dies and you got to go, you know, you meditate and you're doing all the things. How did you overcome the anger? Because I'm mad right now hearing this story, right? And it's like, that is just not fair. That was not the plan. And I know there's all the lessons here. What was that like in like overcoming any of those emotions? Because it feels so unfair, right? You know, I almost picture you, you know, meditating or being down there, but then also being in tears and being like, why did you die? Or why did this happen? You know, like, how do you coach women in overcoming that kind of stuff as well?
Yeah, no, that's an amazing question, because I was angry. I was frustrated. I was anxious, nervous, almost to the point of like a nervous wreck. Mm-hmm. Like I couldn't sleep, had insomnia and couldn't eat. That was, you know, kind of like in the weeks following his death. And yes, I wrote about that part in the book when I spoke about dry bones, and I felt like I had these dry bones following me, and I named them anger, frustration, anxiety. And when I felt like I had this army of dry bones going everywhere with me, you know, I felt like, you know what? Okay, this is not good. We have to confront these emotions head on. And I had to do that. And I had to work through that in a process in terms of changing my mindset, you know, and gratitude. And it sounds very cliche. And it sounds like, does that really help when you're going through such devastation? But I really had to flip that script, that narrative in my head, that, you know, you're a victim. This is so unfair to you. Nothing like this is happening to your friends. Nothing like this has even happened in your entire family. If you look generations back, because I went through all of that in my head. And I said to myself, you know what? There must be a deeper purpose for this. And I remember speaking to God and saying, there is no way you'd let me go through this experience for nothing. So like, show me, mm-hmm. what am I supposed to do with all this now? Like, what am I supposed to do with this? Mm-hmm. And gradually, and this took time, and I kid you not, like for anyone who's listening, who thinks this is overnight work, it isn't. This is years and years. It took me 10 years to come up with that book, to write that book. Like, this was not overnight by any stretch of the imagination. And even when you see the work that I've put out or the books in the series, it's not like, it was just a year after when I came back from my sabbatical. I cried through writing Holistic Wealth. Like I cried. I deleted several versions of the manuscript because it was just too painful. So working through it, giving yourself patience. Of course, you'll have some of those dry bones maybe every day. But just being self-aware, knowing how to flip that script in your head when those negative, you know, thoughts come, dealing with those negative thoughts, when you hear that familiar script in your head saying you're a victim, mm-hmm. you know, you're so unlucky. How come these bad things just happen to me? Everybody else looks fine. Mm-hmm. Then you realize, no, that's not the narrative I want to keep playing. I have to switch this. My life is definitely worthy. I'm here for a purpose. And I need to figure that out and live that purpose. And so there is a chapter in the book where I talk about comparison to others. And I think we often get in that frame of mind because we compare ourselves and our journeys. And sometimes when I look at mine, I'm like, oh my gosh, like mine just looks so much more, you know, just filled with twists and turns. And oh my gosh, I went to Jamaica and came back and navigated all of that. But then when I look at what came out of that journey, when I look at what came out of that, Jamie, now I go on my knees sometimes, like when I'm finished with an interview, because I end up crying most times, and I thank God for the journey. Mm-hmm. I honestly do that, because what has come out of this has blessed so many people. And if you look at your life and what you've been through, you'll realize that in your own way, you've become a blessing to so many others. And so, yes, of course, there are times when I think, oh my gosh, he was such a good person. Why? And then I look back and I'm like, no, I cannot go back there. I have to just keep going forward, because this was to be, you know, a part of like something much bigger than me. This is not even about me. Mm-hmm. This is a message that needs to be out there to bless others. And so whatever you're going through, if you're listening into this podcast right now, just know that sometimes it's much bigger than us. Like it seems like, yeah, it's me. It's so personal, but it's supposed to be part of something bigger that you're supposed to carry out, maybe to help others. Mm-hmm. So it was a lot of mindset work. And, you know, when you read the book, to hear me talk about the holistic wealth mindset and the holistic wealth method. And I had to do that. Like every single thing that I have in that book, I had to be doing every single day.
Mm-hmm. It's grit. You talk about that in the book, the grit and stop playing the victim. And I think we can all, especially women, I think we can all really take note of that, right? Mm-hmm. There's so many things we can't control, but there's no power in playing the victim.
Exactly. Absolutely. And of course, you know, towards the end of the book, because I did remarry and became a stepmom. And so, you know, my journey is so multifaceted, like all of us, right? And so we translate these lessons and these principles to that new phase of our life that we're in. And I think that has been very helpful to me as well, even with charting forward with like a new family and a new life. Mm-hmm. And I think it's so important. It's so very relevant to us, you know, where we are as mothers, as stepmoms, you know, like charting this new path, because that's what it feels like almost.
If you were looking at me right now, you would think that I have a sex toy in my hands, but I don't. And while sex is also a great way to help relieve stress and manage anxiety, I'm not holding a sex toy. I'm holding Moonbird. Moonbird is a handheld breathing device designed to comfortably fit in the palm of your hand, and it's like your own personal breathing coach. So in my episode with Ashley Neese on burnout and the power of breath a few weeks back, I talked about how much intentional breathing has helped me feel more grounded and manage my anxiety. Moonbird has been a huge support in this. Right now, while you're listening to this, I want you to stop and just do some breathing. So take a deep breath in for 5 seconds, out for 5 seconds, and do that like 5 or 6 times, even 10 times. We don't breathe enough. We don't really tap into the power of breath and how calming and grounding it can be. So Moonbird is the world's first handheld device for guided breathing exercises. So there's no need to look at an app. There's no need to count on your own. You just have to breathe. So you hold in your hands and the vibrations in this device guide your breathing. So this helps support people with insomnia or poor sleep and stress and anxiety, ADHD, autism, and burnout. So when you shake the device, it will start inflating and then deflating. So in your hand, it'll feel like you're holding this little bird that's breathing in and out. And the only thing that you need to do is breathe along with the Moonbird. So when it inflates, you breathe in. When it deflates, you breathe out. It's really simple, it's intuitive, and it takes all of the effort and thinking out of your breathing exercises. I find it so calming, and I have been trying to be more intentional with my breathing and regulating my nervous system this year, and Moonbird has been such a support. So you can use it for an afternoon breathwork session in the morning before you start your day or before your meditation or when you're in bed and trying to unwind and fall asleep. You can use it basically anytime you need to stop and really focus on your breath. So to check it out, head to www.moonbird.life and use the code KICKASSSTEPMOM to get $20 off your device. That's www.moonbird.life and use the code KICKASSSTEPMOM to get $20 off your device. Incorporating breath work into your life is such a game changer. It's been a game changer for me. I've got Darren on board, teaching Reese to do the same. Seriously, breath is where it's at. That's www.moonbird.life and use the code KICKASSSTEPMOM to get $20 off your device. I have never been one of those get ready with me, here's my makeup routine girlies on Instagram, but I do get asked a lot of questions about the products that I use and my makeup routine. So here's the deal. A few years ago, I learned about HB Face from someone that I follow on Instagram. I decided to place an order. I just loved that the founder, Haley Bogart, her makeup routine seemed simple. It was an easy process. She had great tutorials on her Instagram, and I was like, okay, I'm going to try this. Plus, she's a badass female entrepreneur, and I love supporting that. So after using her products for a few days, I ended up throwing everything else in the garbage. It is so good and changed the way I feel about doing my makeup. So Hailey Bogart is a makeup artist, and she has built a trusted brand by working with celebrities and influencers and countless others across the globe. She has locations in Toronto and Oakville and has huge plans to expand. And guys, her skincare and makeup line, well, it was created with formulas perfected for simple and effective everyday use. And each product was created based on a belief that beauty should be fun and effortless and stress-free, which I am all about. I love all of her products, but I will quickly run through my favorites. So her Skin Perfector is like a light foundation that just perfects your skin and evens out tones. It's just not too heavy. I love it. I love the concealer. I use the bronzer, the tint sticks for a little pink on my cheek. Her mascara is bomb, and her brow kit is next level. Also, check out the Skin Butter and the Face Scrub. It is so good. So if you go to hbface.com/Jamie Scrimger and use the code HBJamie, you will get 20% off your order. That's www.hbface.com/Jamie Scrimger, JamieScrimgeour. And use the code HB20. You'll get 20% off your order. I know you're going to love this makeup. And when you get it and you try it and you love it, shoot me a DM on Instagram. I can't wait to chat. So let's dive into holistic wealth. So can you share, for those who maybe haven't read the book or aren't familiar, what you're speaking of here and why this is so important, especially for women?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I think for so many of us, we're taught to define wealth in monetary terms only. And when we think about wealth, we think about our net worth. We think about how much money we have in the bank, or salaries, you know, material possessions. And I think COVID-19 too really brought home to all of us. And I've said this before in, you know, on other podcasts and other interviews, that I think this is one of the most important concepts of a generation, that holistic wealth, where even women left in droves, they left corporate jobs, and I'm not saying that's what it is, but finding that balance, that harmony. I think so many of us as women, as moms, are seeking that. And that's the holistic wealth concept. It's like, you know what, it's not just about your bank account, your net worth. It's also about your mental health, because that's so important. It's also about your physical health. Like, are you healthy? Are you feeling well? It's also about your emotional, spiritual health. And of course, embracing a life purpose and meaning, and nurturing those relationships, those people that we care about deeply. Because as we said in the beginning, like, life is so fleeting. And so that's the holistic wealth concept in a nutshell. And all of these things, though, are so interrelated, right? And they're so necessary for us to overcome setbacks. All of them are so important in overcoming setbacks. The financial piece is definitely needed. And in the book, there's a whole section on the financial independence portfolio. It's always been one of my goals personally, even before, long before my husband died, that I become financially independent. And I think it's a goal that a lot of women need to embrace. And even if, you know, you're just starting or you're in the midst of it, that's still a good thing, just to be in that mode of thinking that way, so that when a setback comes, and I talk about financial resilience a lot, that we are also financially resilient, so that we're able to bounce back financially from those life-altering setbacks as well, which is also very important. So those are the key aspects of holistic wealth. And more, when we hear about money in the news, I think you can see that evolution of it being linked to our mental health and what it's doing to us. When we see what's going on in the global economy, and even here in Canada, you think about, you know, the economy, and more people are saying, well, yeah, it's starting to affect our mental health. There's inflation isolation now. It's a term that I'm hearing a lot. People are isolating now because they just can't afford to get out. They can't afford to go out with friends and be sociable. So more and more, we're talking about money in terms of our mental and emotional and even our physical health, which is something I think needs to absolutely happen. It's part of that thinking around, okay, see, it's not just our financial health that's affected. It's our entire well-being.
Mm-hmm, for sure. This really hits right now because I actually went through a stage, and as I've come out of it, I'm like, I was burnt out, you know, from work. Mm-hmm. And you talk about it in the book. You say the triple helix on women, mm-hmm. and how now women have this pressure to work and, you know, climb the corporate ladder or be this, you know, successful entrepreneur while still, you know, managing the house and like doing all of the things. Like there's just so much pressure on women right now to do it all and be it all and find the balance. And, you know, you're watching people on Instagram and they're like showing their highlight reel and, you know, everything just seems so balanced. And I got to a point, yeah, I'm going to say 6 months ago, maybe I was just constantly activated. Like my nervous system was constantly activated. I ended up having to take a break from my podcast and, mm-hmm. you know, just doing a bunch of different things in my business. And someone that works with me, she's like, how do you want to feel? Like, what are your core values for your business or for your life? Like, what do you want? And then like, let's build something around that. Mm-hmm. As opposed to looking at, you know, I guess that timeline that we're talking about are all like the pressures that are on women right now. Instead of doing things because we think we have to, or we think that this is how it's supposed to look like, how do you want to feel? Like, what's important to you? And it comes back to how you talk about your core values and your mission statement as a person. Mm-hmm. And it's crazy how when I started to restructure my life and how I parent and how I work and how I run a business and, you know, how I show up in my relationship and how I take time for myself, everything just started to flow a little bit more. Right. But we don't, I think, give ourselves permission to take that pause and be like, okay, like, what do I actually want? Yeah. Because life is just so freaking busy and it's so expensive. Like cheese is like $12, yeah. right? Like you feel like you have to just keep hustling.
Exactly. That's so true. And for us women, we often feel that there's a penalty to taking that pause. We feel like we're going to lose out on more income or more promotions or more something, you know, if we take that pause. But it's so important to take the pause. As you said,
play the long game.
And play the long game, exactly. Because, like, if you think about my story, because of what I've said up till now, can you imagine if I hadn't taken that pause? I would be a train wreck. I don't think there would be any more me. I don't know where my kids would be. I don't know where I would be mentally or emotionally. And I was at that point, and I felt like I was completely burnt out as well, because I was dealing with grief and, you know, work and these two young kids and everything going on at the same time. So the long game is what we need to look at. And then we need to look at, you know what, like my purpose is not wrapped up in one organization, one job, one salary or one title. It really isn't. That purpose and life purpose is there to really advance humanity. So it's not like what we're thinking at all. It's supposed to be something much bigger, much greater than all of that. And everything builds on each other. So all of that experience helps, mm-hmm. you know, so it's not in vain. Nothing is in vain, but it's so much deeper than the treadmill that we think we have to stay on. It's not the treadmill at all.
No, for sure.
Yeah.
Now I'd love to circle back to, because, you know, talk about financial literacy and being, you know, prepared for things that happen. And that's something that, again, Darren and I talk about the what ifs all the time. It's just, I'm like, so if you die, then like, what would I do for this? And what would you do for this? And like, we literally talk through everything. And people are like, that sounds really morbid. I'm like, no, but you're just very prepared. You know what's going to happen and how you're going to take care of all the things that we've built together. And I think that more families really need to be having those conversations and on a regular. And what allowed you to be able to go to Jamaica and do that was, you know, obviously you were able to rent your house and you, you know, had saved and done those things. But the life insurance policies and preparing for those what ifs and preparing for those situations that you don't see coming and you hope never come, it's really important. Can you speak on that at all?
Absolutely. It's so important. And when I talk about financial resilience, I like to talk about money date nights. I think when we have those date nights that are money related with our spouses or with our partners, we need to actually make financial resilience a central piece. So when we talk about financial resilience, we're talking about things like the life insurance policy. That's a tool of financial resilience because it's going to help one person bounce back much quicker financially if the other partner dies. And then we have other insurance policies that we can look at, like, you know, chronic illness or other kinds of insurance policies that are out there that we actually need to have in place. And then, of course, there are other key pieces like having an emergency fund or other kinds of savings that we can tap into. For instance, I'll give you the example, like many financial planners in Canada who read my book came to me and said, I just had a major epiphany when I read your book, because I just realized that even when you have a life insurance policy, sometimes it takes up to a year to get the proceeds. They didn't know that because so many financial planners have never been on the receiving end of a life insurance policy. I have been. Mm-hmm. So I can tell you that it takes a while and you need to have that insurance. You need to have the emergency savings fund. You need to have savings. You need to know how you're going to even live in between that period, get through the funeral, get through all of that. So like what I'm saying is when couples sit down to talk, like I'm completely honest and open and down to the nitty gritty, we need to be talking about these things. Mm-hmm. Like, yes, life insurance is a key piece. And nowadays I'm actually, you know, when I coach people, I'm saying, listen, depending on how young your kids are, $500K isn't even enough. You need to be looking at a million people. Like you really need to work backwards. Look at the cost of living now. I had an 8-week-old and a 3-year-old. And if I hadn't had a 6-figure salary in addition to 2 life insurance policies, I'm sure I would have survived. But like you need to structure a life going forward. Think about university. My eldest just started and it's $40K for an undergrad degree now. And that doesn't include residency.
That is a whole different podcast.
I know. And that doesn't include res, lunch, nothing, transportation. Like we honestly need to be very, very honest with ourselves about what it's going to require. And when we have those money date nights, we need to be open. We need to go deep, not just surface. We need to go deep about everything, lay it all out. And I agree, discuss it all. Like we need to have those conversations. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. And creating a binder, like a binder of what happens if, right? Because it's easy to talk about different policies, and but maybe there's a policy out that you don't even know anything about. Or in my situation, my husband really does handle the finances. Mm-hmm. It's his thing. That's what he does. He handles the finances. We're very open about it, but he really kind of just like makes sure everything is paid and like does all the things. I said, so there's things that I just don't know.
Yeah.
And in many situations that could backfire on me. I could be like having a whole other podcast about how that's backfired, but that's what works for us right now. However, we have a binder, a resource mm-hmm. for what happens if, right? Like making sure you know what's going on. And so you do have that resilience. But yeah, I think that life insurance piece is really important. And then the other piece that I was thinking about when it comes to resilience, and you know, especially if you are in a situation where maybe one partner is the breadwinner, mm-hmm. right? And you know, you guys together have made the decision that maybe you're taking a step back because of childcare or whatever. I think women, though, always need to have an ability to make money mm-hmm. and to know that they can.
Yeah.
And I think that's the key, right? And just having that faith that you can figure anything out. And if you need to make $1,000 or if you need to make $10,000, you know how to figure out how to do it.
Yeah.
Right. And just that faith
yes.
that you can do it.
Yes.
And I absolutely. Think that separates certain women from other women without having that faith that you can do that.
Absolutely. And like when I think about, you know, as you're talking, I'm thinking about my daughter who's 12. And, you know, I wrote in the book about a bit of that, right? And that piece about starting with young girls and giving them that ability to believe that they can do it and that, you know, they have those skills. It's so important, that entrepreneurial piece. I feel like that should also be even mandatory in schools. Because mm-hmm. like when you think about, you know, that belief and that know-how about how to earn extra income, how to bring in other income when you need it is so critical to financial resilience, right? Mm-hmm. But society trains everyone, like, think about a job when you get out, a job. And it absolutely is true that for the vast majority of us, it will be a job. But I think those entrepreneurial skills are also so important. Mm-hmm. Okay, if I lose the job or I can't go to the job because, you know what, my life just fell apart. What are those skills and talents I can use to bring in extra income because I'm going to have to stay home with the kids for a while to even help them get through their grief? Because that was part of it for me. It wasn't just my grief. Mm-hmm. It was, you know, my three-year-old's grief and how I was going to be there for him, and he needed it at that time. Mm-hmm. So that's the other piece of the resilience story about, you know, when that happens in a family unit, how do we keep everyone okay? How do we, you know, structure our lives so that we can take the time we need to make sure the kids are fine, mm-hmm. and that they can get their lives? So absolutely, it's so important.
Mm-hmm. Our kids need to see us struggle too.
Yeah.
You know, my daughter really gets frustrated with some schooling stuff and education stuff. And we've really had to work with her in knowing, like, things don't come easy right away every single time, right? So whenever I'm, you know, trying to mm-hmm. build my website or figure out something else with this platform that I have no idea how to do, and I'm figuring it out on Google, I'm talking to her about that. I'm saying, Mommy is very frustrated right now. I do not know what I'm doing. This keeps messing up. But you know what I'm going to do right now? I'm going to go for a little walk, and then I'm going to come back. I'm going to clear my head, and I'm going to figure it out. She's like, yeah, Mom, you can figure whatever you want out, yeah. right? Just as long as you just keep trying. And it doesn't matter if you get it wrong. And it's like, it doesn't matter, but I'm just going to keep trying. And like walking your kids through those kind of conversations just to show them, right? This doesn't just happen, right? You didn't just go to Jamaica and meditate in this, you know, beautiful location. Like, you were on your hands and knees crying. There were naysayers in your life who thought you were crazy. Like, there's all these different obstacles that come up. And I think it's so important to be showing our kids these obstacles too, right? So they don't, you know, leave the nest and think it's like all, you know, manifesting and gratitude and it'll all just happen to you. It's like, no, like, this is freaking hard. This is hard work.
Exactly. It is. And I remember a time, I think we kind of grew out of that a bit, where the kids would go to school and they'd come home and I'd say to them, what did you do to get out of your comfort zone today? I want to hear one thing that you do every single day to get out of that comfort zone. Because when we're in that comfort zone, you feel comfortable. There's no need to problem solve, as you stated. There's no need to do anything. Mm-hmm. But when we're getting that comfort zone, we're preparing ourselves for that change, for when it comes, for when the hard times come. And we need to really pivot and really draw on some tools in our toolbox that can help us really navigate that change. And so that's what I've worked through with my own kids when they were younger too. It's just like, you know what? They would come home and say, Mom, you know, like, I did this to get out of my comfort zone today. Even if it was simple, like, I talked to this person who I've been longing to talk to for so long, and I've just been so shy to go up and say hi. But now I've forged that kind of connection with that person, and I'm excited because now I have a new friend. Mm-hmm. And even simple things like that, like making new friendships, like, you know, it's unbelievable, Jamie, but when my husband died, there was a need for me to forge new friendships, new alliances, new connections in my life that I needed. Some of the friends that I had, you know, went on different paths. And here I was, a young widow, and not everybody's comfortable with that. You know, mm-hmm. you take it for granted that everybody's just going to come and sing Kumbaya. And no, there's naysayers or people who are going to tell you things that will shake you to your core when you're at the worst in your life. And you're going to need the skills to be able to get out of that comfort zone, or to get out of a certain space or thinking, mm-hmm. to forge new friendships, to forge new connections. Like, as you said, you know, like with your website and your podcast, I went through the same thing, like launching everything for Holistic Wealth, even the book. It wasn't straightforward at all. Like, I stumbled every single step of the way through it. But through it all, I think, as you said, what we keep coming back to is just that holding on to that belief mm-hmm. that we can, that we have it within us. We have the tools available mm-hmm. to us. We just need to reach outward, you know, and troubleshoot and problem solve to find those answers.
Yeah. The one thing I want to dive into is your money story. And specifically around, so I was thinking about my community and just a lot of the things that you can't control about the money story too, when you become in a blended family, or, you know, your partner maybe has excessive child support, or there's differences in opinions on how to spend money, or maybe the ex isn't contributing the way that you think she should, or whatever the story is, right? And I think there can be a lot of blocks around child support and these financial obligations that just come with your new partnership, right? And it is what it is thing. But I do think to have that financial literacy and financial resilience and to truly just kind of find that balance in life, again, that's something you really just have to let go and get unblocked with. Like, it just, it is what it is. Do you have any advice or thoughts on this for women who are really stuck on that piece, specifically, obviously, like the stepmoms who are listening?
Yeah, no, that's a big one. When I remarried, you know, my current husband had his obligations, financial obligations, of course, to his daughter. And we had to work through all of that. But, you know, as I tell people and as I coach, like, first of all, when I think about, you know, becoming widowed, even as a trained economist, I felt like I had a lot of financial guilt because here I was receiving the proceeds of this insurance money. It felt sad. It felt like I was broken and I was getting this. It didn't feel happy. So I had a lot of negative emotions around this money. I didn't feel like touching it or doing anything with it. And of course, we don't anticipate this, right? Because I'm going through this and I'm like, yeah, we plan to have the life insurance. It's great. You feel that sense of security having it. Absolutely. But then when you realize that the sadness and the grief is just overshadowing everything, that money doesn't make you feel happy or whole. And so I had blocks around it. And I train people in money trauma now. But what I say to people is, we have to work around whatever barriers and obstacles we're facing, even as stepmoms. Like you mentioned, you know, excessive financial obligations, you know, with one partner or to, you know, previous children or to whatever is the case. We absolutely just need to work around it. You know, when I talk about the holistic wealth mindset, lots of these things are so temporary. It seems like a big issue when you just get into it, you know, and for many of us who shoulder a lot of the weight of our households, and many moms do, it can feel like an eternity. But I'm here to tell you that, you know, like, everything is temporary. And if we think about everything being temporary like that, then it's easy. In terms of the money story, you know, your personal financial identity, I think, is key. And when we have those money date nights with our spouses, working through that. So there's this free quiz on the Institute on Holistic Wealth website. And I mentioned before that, like, I'm a risk taker. My partner is a minimalist. So when we get together, we talk about how to go through that together. How do we make our financial decisions, given that I'm a risk taker and he's a minimalist? How do we invest and have financial resilience, given that I'm a risk taker and he's a minimalist? So we also have to learn through that process and kind of have that empathy for our situations or money stories and for our partners, because it's easy to be like, oh my gosh, now I'm saddled with all of this. I'm new to this whole journey and now I have all these factors at play, right? So I think it's very important that we have open communication. And that we know that, you know what, we're navigating through these rough waters right now, but it will be better in the end and it will smooth out. Like, it's not forever. Mm-hmm. It will resolve itself with time. But yes, absolutely. I think for many stepmoms out there, especially when you're just starting to, you know, navigate this new family dynamic, or you have that blended family now, then it's hard to kind of navigate through, okay, kind of what is my role as a stepmom? Where do my obligations start and they end versus here's, am I supposed to take on
extra because he's paying this? Or
Exactly. And we've all been there and done that. Luckily, you know, I think as our kids get older and they start you know, setting up lives for themselves, it does get easier. Absolutely, it will. My stepdaughter's now 26, you know, and she's on her own and a wonderful human being and out there living her life. So what I'm saying is, I think with everything that has to go with parenthood and, you know, navigating something for the first time, it's very, very easy to think, oh my gosh, this is overwhelming, but it does get better. And I think that open communication helps.
Mm-hmm, for sure. And not getting stuck up in that, well, if he didn't have to pay this or we didn't have to pay this, we could do this. Like, catch yourself when you're doing that, because it's true, right? You know, this summer, for instance, I had a laundry room planned, a renovation planned, and then there was a new change in the amount of money that needed to go. And there goes the laundry room, right? Like, so there are those things that come up. So I never want to minimize that for stepmoms. Just be like, well, like, let's just talk about it. And, you know, there are financial sacrifices that your partner still has to make because of his past and because of the family that he had before you, or he or she. But not getting caught up in that story that you can't live the life that you want to live because of this financial obligation, right? And just like, don't play the victim. Like we were talking about, like, this is the grit. Don't play the victim. Like, how do you change your own money story so that, you know, this doesn't dictate the way that your life pans out? And you do have that power. Like, you know, you talk about in your book, you say, like, this is actually something you can't control, but this is something you can. Like, is the story I'm telling myself true about my ability to control certain situations? You can't control child support. You can't control how much it costs. But what you can do is control what you bring in, or, you know, businesses that you start, or ways that you invest, or ways that you choose to allocate your funds. Like, there's a lot of things that you can control.
Absolutely. And I think many of us as stepmoms, we know what we were getting into. Like, we knew that there were financial obligations there before. Like, I know that, you know, some things will come as a surprise afterwards with, like, you know, like other expenses, like university, college, things like that. Mm-hmm. But generally, in a general sense, we know.
And if you didn't know, you probably should have had more conversations before you
Exactly. And you should have been having those open conversations to know everything. But we need to go in there knowing that, and you're absolutely right, that we're not putting up these mental barriers where, you know, none's needed, and that we're really living truthfully. Like, if I think about, you know, when I became a stepmom, my husband had a fair bit. He had a lot. Like, when we got married, like, the majority of his salary was going to his daughter. And I mean, at that point, we hadn't had a child together yet. So it was just, you know, the two boys. But I had to find ways of navigating and making sure that my resources could cover for certain things and to do, you know, other things. So what I'm saying is, like, at the beginning, it can seem like a lot. It can seem absolutely overwhelming, but I think we know most times what we're getting into, and we have the skills to navigate through it.
For sure.
And I mean, that situation didn't last long. It probably lasted like a year until we had another change. And all of that has resolved now. But, like, we need to absolutely do the work and to communicate and to really, you know, not put up those barriers. Because I think when we think about many divorces, many of them stem from the financial pieces. Mm-hmm. And it would be devastating, right? I think for us and for our journey and for our lives to know that it was because we didn't take the right steps that we needed in our relationships to make it work, so that it ended that way. So absolutely, we need to work on our money stories. We need to work on what we need to do if those financial obligations are in place, and really work around them, work through them. I mean, whether it's both partners trying to get more money in, investing more, trying to make that money work harder.
Tax breaks.
Exactly.
Oh my gosh. I could talk to you forever. We're going to have to get you back on. But thank you so much. I'm going to link the viral article. I'm going to link your book. Anything else that you want to make sure that the audience knows about if they're going to dive into all of your resources?
Absolutely. So the free quiz on the Institute on Holistic Wealth website, I think, is very good. And of course, if you want to check out the Money Trauma Coaching Program, I think that would be also very good too for the audience to check out. I think all of us carry some baggage into our relationships whether knowingly or unknowingly. And a piece we didn't get to speak about is our past, mm-hmm. not only our past relationships, but family dynamic as it relates to money.
There's so much.
Which is huge. There's so much to unpack with that. So absolutely. And of course, on the Holistic Wealth podcast, we've spoken about, you know, different money stories and financial identities so people can talk around their background and, you know, different narratives that they've had to kind of reset in their lives.
Oh yeah. The money work, the money story.
Mm-hmm.
There's always just so much work. It's like you start the personal development journey and you're like, okay, yeah, things are good. And then it's like, you start to realize like how much more there is to just unpack. Like it's not like a one and done.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, thank you so much for taking the time. This has been so good. And again, we're going to have to get you back on.
Oh, absolutely. Thanks for having me. It was great being here.
That's it for this one. Thank you so much for tuning in. And if this episode resonated with you, I'd be so grateful if you could share it with someone in your life who you think could benefit from it. And if you haven't already left a rating and a review on iTunes, it really is the best way to support the show. And if you're craving more real talk and coaching and community, be sure to check out my membership, the Kickass Stepmom Community. Head to www.kickassstepmom.com to learn more.